Hi, I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And you are listening to The Secret Stack.
Yeah.
This is a bonus podcast that goes out to our Patreon backers first, and then later to the general podcasting public. If you want to get it before anybody else, you can go to patreon.com/comicbookclub. And in this week's Secret Stack, we're going to review some comics.
Yeah, that's the stack behind the stack. Who stacks the stackman?
I get it. That's a reference.
That's good. References are hard. A lot of times I just say
Dark Knight Returns.
Yes, great graphic novel. great trade paperback.
First of all, we'll talk about Civil War II, number 6. This is by Brian Michael Bendis. The art is by David Marquez.
I don't know if you guys realize, but you're in the middle of a tentpole Marvel event. Remember those? I feel like this has been the event that has gone to shit, if I may be.
Well, here's one thing that I'll say. The art is gorgeous.
The art is amazing.
Absolutely amazing. There's double page spread I just coincidentally flipped to of Miles Morales killing Captain America.
Spoiler.
In front of the Capitol building. It's a vision provided to him by Ulysses.
Ulysses.
The human who can't exactly see the future, but can profile a lot of people.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Very topical. Well, that's the... So at the end of the last issue of Civil War number 2, we were confronted with the vision of Spider-Man killing Captain America. Oh my God, so stressful. Like, wow, I can't wait to read the next issue and find out absolutely nothing. This issue, nothing happened. We end, like, all the characters are standing around and they are like, what are we going to do about this? They all go home and then Spider-Man goes to the Capitol building. Truly!
Don't forget the, you know, the course more verbal back and forth, people picking sides and arguing. I love buying a comic book and just having
superheroes. You love buying a comic book.
I do love buying a comic book, but this is bullshit because it's just another rehash fight. We already lived through Civil War. Why is Civil War II a thing?
Well, I mean, that part could be different. That part is different. It's a different premise. It's a different storyline.
Nope.
It's different characters. It is. It truly is.
Nope.
The thing that bothers me about this is it just feels like it's stalled out in this, like, non-story. Yeah. It's like the worst qualities of everything that people say when they criticize Bendis is on display, especially in this issue.
Yeah, here I will throw out, not to totally lump on this comic book, but as of this issue, and I know this is all a side to this issue, in fact, it is a side to this issue, we've reached my least favorite thing about Events and Events comics, where the rest of the publishing schedule has pulled ahead of it.
Yeah.
So we already have comics very secretly, not really revealing what happened at the end of the comic, but hinting at it. Something happened to Iron Man. Who knows? Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's not. But we can't say it for another 3 months. So all these other books are hobbled because of it. It's frustrating.
It 100% is. And this whole thing does feel, you know, it's a sequel to Civil War. It felt a little like, well, what is this about? And it feels like a manufactured event. When I was reading this, I felt I was reminded of Infinity Gauntlet. Uh-huh. Like in that event, like epic things happened on every page in some of those issues. And in this issue, nothing epic happens. Yeah. Though it is beautiful. Truly, there used to be a way to tell stories where it was like, oh my God, that is exciting. That character's going through it. These characters are going through it, but it's like they're all in therapy and we're the therapist having to listen to their problems.
It's so interesting, actually, because the first Civil War is not a perfect event. It's considered one of the best-selling events of all time.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a great event.
Having Mark Millar do the first event versus Brian Bendis, it's opposites.
Yeah.
Mark Millar's like, I did literally so much story in the first 3 issues, I ran out of story.
Right.
Because I'm just zooming through it. And Brian Bendis is like, let's take one conversation and stretch it out as long as possible. And they're both really good authors. They both write good stuff.
Yeah,
Bendis is amazing.
Overall, this is a frustrating event. Let's talk about something that's the opposite of frustration.
Definitely.
Batman Detective Comics number 943. Oh my God, every issue of this is so good.
Yes.
James Tynion IV is writing it. Alvaro Martinez is the penciler. We're kicking off a new arc in this issue, the Victim Syndicate. But what's really wonderful about this book, and we've talked about this a little bit on the show before, is that James, who really honed himself in the Batman Weekly events that happened.
Yeah.
The first one, Batman Eternal, and the second one was that Batman and Robin Eternal. Was that it?
Yeah.
Sure.
He's taken that and pushed it down into an arc. So opposite of Civil War, which is stretching out a story, here he's building this mega story that embraces all all of Gotham and all of the Batman mythos and expands on it and adds new enemies, but it's happening in the span of 5 or 6 issues. So every single arc so far feels like an epic event.
Yeah, yeah. We've put together a team. We've got Batwoman. We've got Clayface in here.
Which I never really thought I would enjoy, but I'm really enjoying Clayface in this arc.
Yeah, and what was nice about this this issue is like he's just trying to be a regular dude. He's afraid of being a menace. Great character move for him. We check in with a lot of our characters. Yeah. Spoiler, mourning the death of her Robin. Like, there, so much happens in this. Yeah. And we had like the Night of the Monster Men crossover sort of in the way of the story of this book, but which was fine, and it was a fine story. But this feels like, oh, we're back to where these characters were. We're moving them forward.
Yeah. I don't remember if we said this when we talked about the last issue before Night of the Monster Men, but to me this feels like vintage X-Men set in the Batman universe.
Oh, that's a great call. It really does.
Just all these incredible character moments. It has this broad storytelling. It lays all of these seeds for the future. It's an ongoing story, but it feels epic, and it's great. It's just so good.
Especially given the fact, like, these characters are basically the same in their, like, what they do. They all have things they throw at bad guys, they swing around, and they're good at punching.
And they have bats, don't
and
forget
there's
about
there's some bat references.
Clayface doesn't have those things.
Clayface is a little different, but even in this issue, he's like, I want to be regular. He's like, enough of this super-powered Clay stuff. I just want to be a regular actor. And that's why I identify with Clayface the most, because he's a classically trained actor.
Who do you identify with the most?
Spoiler.
Why?
Oh, really?
Because she's violent, doesn't talk a lot.
Oh,
nice. Interesting. But you hate spoilers.
I do.
What a funny turn.
What a world we live in.
Alex, all right, let's get to my pick. What about you? You didn't answer your own question.
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. I was going to say Robin, but he's dead. Oh,
that's fucked up, man. What's wrong with you? You're in a dark place.
I don't know. It's a weird time in America. Let's move on. Talk about Chew.
That's why you listen to the Secret Stack, because you get those top political opinions very fresh.
Yeah. Anyways, Chew, this is heartbreaking.
Do you want to say which issue? This is
I'm Chew getting
59.
There. I'm getting Chew there. 59. Chew 59.
You were getting to the number?
Yes, I was.
He likes to throw the number out in the middle somewhere, like in the middle of a sentence sometimes.
Yes, yeah. I mean, what does it matter if it doesn't
59.
Come right at the beginning of the sentence?
A lot of times you go Chew number 59, just so you know what you're talking
about. Well, I can not give that right away. I like can't say that in this issue.
Maybe
Chew,
people thought you were talking about chewing. That's all, like chewing your food or whatever.
Like if Brian Adams had called his song Summer and then later said 69, I don't think it would have been quite the hit that it was.
Okay, well, I'm not putting out a song.
I got my first real 69.
That's weird.
In this episode of Chew, which happens to be number 59, it's the second to last issue. I thought this was the last issue. So powerful, so well done.
You were pleasantly surprised.
When Zelvin told me, I was...
Right before we tape this.
Zelvin was like, it's not the last issue. And I was like, what? It says the end.
It does say end Chew.
So that is fair. Like, this is... I know we make fun of you for this kind of stuff a lot.
You make fun of me all the fucking time.
It says end Chew at the end. It says the end. It finishes off the main story that's been in the book for 59 issues at this point. But I also pointed out that it starts with part 4 of 5.
Well, it says on the back of the cover. I mean, who reads that?
For a man obsessed with numbers, you certainly hate numbers.
Yeah, they put it right in the middle, though, so how would you ever know that?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, Chew is a wonderful comic book. I agree, this is a very emotional issue. I'm hesitant to spoil anything if you have been reading 59 issues at this point, but so much stuff gets resolved, and we're going to get a little bit of an epilogue going on, as far as we can tell, next issue.
Yeah, Swallow.
Yeah.
I just can't say enough about, like, how well done this was from start to finish. Chew is a very creative, very heartfelt, well done comic that has a lot of references, is hilarious, is heartbreaking, is violent, is cartoonish, yet real. And
it's crazy. You just said all of the words.
I just feel that, like, it's an amazing series and should be
I will say, I agree with Pete. He's absolutely right. The thing that I thought was wonderful about this issue, and we'll see what happens with the last issue, is that this is dealing with the literal end of the world and an unenviable choice. Tony Chew, the main character, has to decide between killing millions of people and killing billions of people. And it deals with it in a really realistic way for the choice. But at the same time, there's still the same background jokes are happening throughout the book. There's still ridiculous adventures that they go on. So even when we're dealing with the serious stuff, it manages to keep a sense of humor at the same time. And I think we know, as having long comedy backgrounds, that particularly when you're doing a plot-heavy comedy movie, you always get to that third act when you're bringing the plot together and it loses all of the jokes.
Yeah, like this, Schindler's List. I feel like they didn't get none of the jokes. None of the jokes.
Well, this is the sort of stuff you can only get in the secret stack.
Yeah.
Anti-Semitism, maybe, and whatever.
That's not it.
But, yeah. Chew, guys. It's amazing.
I've never been a big Chew guy. I've never been into the book.
You're not into like the finer arts. You know, you don't really enjoy
59.
Things that are heady. You don't enjoy things that are kind of like deeper, that have layers.
No,
so
exactly.
I see why this goes over your head.
I like the simple shit. Just loading a gun and firing it.
Yeah. And hoping that the bullets turn into knives. You know, that's where the real... Yeah.
Like in Schindler's List.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is a huge, obviously, very genre hit movie. Genre comedy.
Oh my gosh. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening to The Secret Stack. For you Patreon
Tell anybody. It's a secret.
Except for your Patreon backers, thank you so much for your incredible support. For everybody else, really please help to patreon.com/comicbookclub to get the episodes early. And be sure to come to New York for the live show every Tuesday night at the Pit. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Bye.